The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP.
Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Let me go home and start over.
Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio. Brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment. Using proven, evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox, inpatient and outpatient options, you'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do you got today?
So we have a little bit of disturbing news. There's more and more concern about fentanyl being mixed in with some Halloween candy. They're actually asking if families will check their kids' Halloween candy. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration has said that it's a deliberate effort by drug traffickers to drive addiction amongst kids and young adults. They can come as sweet tarts and other brightly colored pills.
You know, it's so sad and sickening that that's where this world has become. I mean, I remember when we were growing up. We had to worry about razor blades or whatever. But
yeah,
this is so scary now. And as you said, I saw it on the news. A lot of these candies are colored, flavor colored, to attract children. So Halloween's coming up, everybody, and you better be really, really careful. I mean, absolutely, don't your kid any kind of candy that's not wrapped from a manufacturer.
Yeah, I just can't believe we've gotten to this point where we're worried about fentanyl in Halloween candy now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable. Another story out of Camden County, which is right outside of Philadelphia, for those that don't know. The Camden County Chiefs of Police Association that said that it would give every public and parochial school the Nalox box, a metal container with four doses of naloxone. This came after a 12-year-old boy died of an overdose, and they're basically, county officials are saying that it's a no-risk, high-reward situation because it's going to cost about $20,000, and all the schools, if somebody has an overdose, are going to be able to act right then and help them.
You know, it's way past having a nursing school now like we used to.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know where it's going to end, and I know that's part of the topic today.
That's what we're going to talk about today. So, look, we have a great show. Linda Elkins is with us today, and for people who don't know Linda, and everybody should, she's a long-term recovery, big part of this show, and we're glad that she's with Mark and myself. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. When will the carnage stop as a result of the disease of addiction? Will it ever stop? We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses,
offices in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey. They tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY today.
Hey, this is
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're also heard on these great radio stations: KDWN Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS Tampa, Florida, and WGAC in Augusta, Georgia. Everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Gary Hendler, along with my co-host Mark Sigmund, and Linda Elkins is with us today, which is great. So the question that I posed was basically, what's going to happen here with this epidemic? Is it ever going to be cured? Is it ever going to be stopped? Because the numbers don't lie. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it's very disturbing because basically the way it usually runs is you have certain drugs come in and out of style. You know, in the 80s, it was cocaine. You know, in the early 70s, in certain areas, it was heroin. The thing that's really getting me is that this fentanyl is being mixed in all the drugs now. So I don't see an end in sight with this opioid epidemic. Are you thinking the same thing, Linda?
I'm thinking the same thing. And I think it's a question of society's attitude. We have an attitude of, well, they're adults. They're choosing to do it. We can't stop them. And, oh, they're just a drunk, or they're just a drug addict, or we're just – they don't treat it like a disease. Even though it is a disease in all the books, it's not treated as a disease. And people have this throwaway attitude that, well, it's up to the person to fix themselves or else.
And I also think, Linda, people that are not exposed to this really don't care. I don't care what they say.
Right.
They really don't care.
Yeah, and if you take one look at insurances, you know, as a clinician, we're trying to get sessions, and sometimes you have to beg for sessions. And if somebody had heart disease, or they had, you know, they were running into problems with their liver, it would all be covered right then and there.
Exactly. There's all kinds of problems with the coverage. And I talked to another clinician yesterday who said, if it's one digit off or 1 minute off, if you do a 53-minute session instead of a 52-minute session, you won't get paid from certain insurers. And I just gave you the news, too. A local place around here that was medical and treatment just got downgraded to just medical stabilization only. And the clients have to go look for another place to go after they're stabilized.
That was Valley Forge.
Yes, but I didn't want to say it. But anyway, so that, you know, people don't know where to go. People don't know where to go. And some people, their insurance won't pay for them to go.
Well, that's true. So, you know, and there are loads of rehabs. There are loads of programs. So why are the numbers going up and up and up? Listen, if there was no demand, there would be no supply. So I think we got to figure out why people need to take drugs. I mean, we have to get to the core of this thing, because if no, you know, it's like, you know, I think we need to understand how the brain works, because I don't think anybody really knows how it works. And, you know, we're just treating symptoms. You know, we're just putting Band-Aids on everything.
And why is it so bad in the United States? And
why is
some
it
of these
so much worse here?
Yes.
Right?
In other countries, you're not seeing this. So what is it about society in the U.S. where this is this bad?
You know, maybe some of our listeners and viewers can call in to 1-888-728-9941, 1-888-728-9941, and give us your opinion on what's going on here.
Yeah, when's it going to end? You know, the fentanyl just goes on and on and on and on. I mean, every time you think maybe this will disappear, it doesn't, and it just gets worse and worse. And I mean, it's a freaking bioweapon. Basically,
fentanyl is made where?
So it's right now. It used to be made mostly
China?
The precursors were China, but they actually cracked down in China. And what you're seeing is a lot of it's built in Mexico.
Yes.
So it's coming up through the border, right?
Yes, it is.
Huh?
And they're admitting on those shows where that Mariana lady goes to these places and she saw them make the fentanyl and make the pills with the fentanyl in it, with the pill stampers. I mean, it used to be hard to get these things. I guess they can buy this all on the dark web, and the dark web is a whole nother thing. You can buy anything. You can buy the fentanyl. You can buy the ketamine. You can have it shipped to you. Tusi. They have all this stuff out now that – but fentanyl's mixed in everything. They're hoping people get addicted, but they're killing so many people with it.
But why does – let's just talk about America.
Okay.
Why does America's society need to have this stuff? Everybody – look, I remember when I was using, I'm sure you got – I just wanted escapism from whatever was going on.
Me too.
So how about that problem? Why do people need to escape from their daily routines? Because, again, if there's no demand, there's no supply.
It's so hard. I've thought about this before, and is it some of our kind of Puritan nature of having a lot of religion and things like that, where this is the other side of it with guilt and shame? Who knows? But I wish I knew the answer. I've scratched my head on this for a while. Can you have any cracks at that, Linda?
I can't figure it out. I don't know why people have to do it other than they don't want to feel. You know, I was at a meeting last night online, and that's what people said. Like, you don't want to feel anything. And I'm in a group on Facebook, too, a sober group, and one lady was saying she relapsed. She started again, and last night she wasn't even going minute by minute, day by day. She was going to go second by second to get through the night. And I gave her a link to a 2 a.m. meeting. This was like at midnight last night. But not feeling and wanting to say to everybody, I'm okay. You ask me how I am. I'm okay. I'm fine. No problem. That's us. And is it because we don't sit at the family table or we don't go to the religious things anymore? We're not a group. We're all individuals and we're high stress. And we expect things from these kids that maybe they can't do.
And
I don't know.
In certain communities, there's not a cohesive family unit.
Yeah.
So that's fragmented also.
It's a great point, and you know, this whole idea of lack of community.
Yes.
Because we know in the treatment of addiction, that's what we're searching for. You know, somebody gets clean, and we're like, how do you find community? And it isn't as tight as it used to be, I guess, in the United States.
Yeah.
Maybe with all this individualism, the breakdown of the American family. You know, there's probably so many influences on this, Gare.
I mean, you know, this is like the really. The cup is half empty. Like 100 years from now, 20 years from now, and then they look back, if we're still around, and saying, this is what destroyed society. Not this country, not the other country. It's what we're doing. We're imploding right now ourselves. And I don't know the answer. You know, let's be hopeful, you know. Hey, if you want to listen and watch – if you want to watch us do the show, go to Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio page, and you can watch us. You know, and you know, I'm going to list. There's a lot of people watching all right now, and these are the people that are watching us on Facebook, such as I'll give some. You give some. Debbie Reynolds, Sean Gerlat, Judge Christopher Maddox is
Hi,
watching.
Chris.
Hey, Chris. Zachary Cooper is watching. What's up, boys? Have a great show. Go Phillies.
Oh, he's a huge Philly fan.
It's a big thing.
That's a Philadelphia baseball team, right? Okay. Judge Maddox is saying, busy day in court today.
Oh, boy.
Stephen Sussman, hello from sunny Palm Beach. Marge Taffy is watching. Dan Schmalian, hey, guys. Been a few weeks. I'm still here, clean and sober. Have a great show. You guys are awesome. Laura Story, happy Sober Friday, guys. Have a great weekend. Mark Willig, happy. Hi, guys. Getting ready for physical therapy. Have a great show. Mike Hepp, what's up, gents? Glad to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see Mike. We haven't seen him in a while. And, you know, Dawn Searock says, we need better resources to deal with the root causes. The addiction is a symptom of a bigger problem. Mental health is sorely lacking.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody is saying it. How does it happen? I mean, is it money? Is it people don't care? What is it?
Part of it's money.
We can't get this?
Again, stigma. Having a mental illness is a stigma. And people, there are people who will not go for help, whether they're in an ethnic group that doesn't believe in it or their family doesn't believe in it. a lot of people think it's something to be shameful about. Well, people are not happy to treat themselves for that.
Well, you know what? I mean, so get over it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's easy to say, like, just say no to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you got to say, you know, is this how I want to live the rest of my life?
No.
I mean, it hurts you, the individual, hurts your family, screws the community up. This is a bad, bad scene that is not getting better.
And Steven Sussman says, in his opinion, increased opioid prescriptions led to abuse, and it is now difficult to turn around. So he thinks it goes all the way back from the doctors prescribing, over-prescribing.
Yeah, right? Because Big Pharma sold that bill of goods to everybody that it was safe and not addicting. Man.
And there's a note at my therapy network. Just yesterday, the day before, somebody's looking for a psychiatrist who's comfortable tapering someone off Oxy. And I almost answered her to tell her, no, there isn't anybody who's comfortable doing that. Send them to a hospital. But I didn't say anything. I don't know what she'll do. But, you know, there's people think they know, but they don't know. And they don't know where to call. They don't know who to call.
You're 100% correct. Judge Duffy is watching right now. I just want to mention something. The judge is the executive director of an organization called DARA, Drug Addiction Resource Alliance. It serves the community outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and, you know, New Jersey, whatever. And she is having an event on October 20th. It's going to be a great presentation. A lot of resources are going to be there, which is great. And if you want more information on this, please go to I guess it is DARA. I got it right here. www.darasaveslives.com. Check that out. It's going to be an incredible event.
And Gary's being modest.
Right.
Because he is the presenter or the getting an
He's
award.
He's being honored as the committed recovery person of the year.
Yeah. I didn't want to do that, you know. I didn't want to toot my own horn, but yeah.
But we will.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's going to be a great event, and she's just an incredible person, and she's a judge that cares about our community, you know?
Well, and incidentally, if anybody wants to call, we're kind of scratching our heads over here. Where do we go from here? What's the solution with the addiction problem that just gets worse and worse? You can call us at 888-728-9941. Give us your opinion. Give us – where are we headed with this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a subject – that, you know, we don't talk about much, but, you know, it is doom – you know, for right now, it seems like a doom and gloom story because it's not getting any better. And this is not like, you know, people get sick. This is like people are dying all over the place. And guess what? It can happen to anybody's family. So don't think that because it hasn't affected you, you're immune to this. You're not.
And it's so hard to find. You know, it's so – they can send these small packages with this fentanyl in. Through the mail, through, you know, it's very hard to stop.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just fentanyl. I mean, there's all
sorts. Everything.
It's alcohol. It's it's everything. It's why do we need to escape? And why, Linda, did you bring it up or more? This country especially has hit the hardest on this planet. Why? What's wrong with this society? Or what has society done to create this monster?
From a young age, people are, you know, taking pills is kind of like how people grow up because of a lot of big pharma. There's certain countries where that's not the go-to thing, you know, where you take a pill for this, take a pill for that. You know, I'm hearing of kids sometimes 6 and 7 years old being put on very potent antipsychotics that have never been tested on kids from a young age, and a lot of them are going to stay on these meds. Big Pharma's making all kinds of money off of this, and it's very scary.
I mean, if you know, it's scary for everybody. I was going to say, if you have a child, it's very scary. It's scary if you have a parent, you have a sibling, a kid. Nobody's immune from this. I mean, and look, this rhetoric we everybody's been talking about for years and years and years. Why isn't there a solution? Why isn't there a solution instead of more rehabs, more programs, you know? And then there's things that are thrown – put a wedge into this, like medical marijuana. Let's throw that into it. there's a lot of stuff that's not helping this situation. But it is about money, isn't it? Like everything else.
It's about money and stigma. It's about shame and stigma, and it's about people not knowing where to go and thinking, well, because it's brain disease and people kind of understand that part of it, but they also think people have free will where they can have willpower to stop. And willpower will not stop this alone. You need a community. I got here and Gary said, oh, I ran into somebody we knew from a meeting from 40 years ago. We have unbelievable community. I know the same people, the same meetings that we went to and the same group of people for 38 years. I mean, we still have community with these people. I can still text my ex-sponsor, my old friends. I can still text them. I can Zoom a meeting. I can do whatever I want. But being a part of that community saved my life.
Right.
And people think that it's wrong and a cult. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. It's. Listen, if you're just joining us, I'm here with Mark. And Linda's here with us, and Linda's a longtime supporter of the show, and she fills in for Mark a lot.
Yes, she's awesome.
She's awesome. And we're talking about where is all this going? Where is this epidemic going in this country? Is it ever going to be solved? Does anybody really care enough? You know,
I heard some interesting studies going on where I think they stopped the studies on actual vaccines for certain drugs, specifically for opioids, where it would block it from crossing the blood-brain barrier. So you got to wonder if in the future there's going to be some really game-changing treatments coming out. A vaccine would be quite amazing, wouldn't it? For certain drugs?
Well, they have Vivitrol.
They have Vivitrol.
You have a shot now. And I heard on the radio people are advertising naltrexone.
Yeah.
And naltrexone's been around forever. It's a generic drug. It will block the effects better than that other – what's that other one? Buspar? What's the other one I'm thinking of? But there are drugs that will stop it. But if you take the naltrexone and it blocks it, and you go to the hospital for something and they have to give you a painkiller because you were in a car accident, you can't feel that either.
The problem is I'm actually hearing people are still able to get high with fentanyl when they're on Vivitrol. It's so powerful.
But they mix it with benzos just like they did with the methadone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? Before we take a break, we have a caller on the line. Mike, how are you? Welcome to the show, brother.
How are you, Gary?
How are you?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mark? Hi, guys. How are you?
Long time no talk to our man.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. I see Mike on Facebook, and he's racing the, races in recovery, and he's doing a great job as usual.
It's been a long season. We're finally wrapped up.
All right, Mike.
I just hear the concern in your voice, Gary, about. What to do with these drugs coming into the country and all. Yeah. And unfortunately, nobody likes the answers, but the fact remains that countries like China, Singapore, Dubai, they don't have issues like we have. You know why?
Why?
Because if you get caught distributing drugs in that country, you're executed.
Right.
Death penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reality of it is, if you want to stop it, right, you implement a law that if you get caught dealing drugs in this country, you could face the death penalty. I would imagine it would stop pretty much overnight.
Yeah. Interesting. Listen, if you want to hold on, we have to go to a break, Mike. If you want to hold on, we'd like to hear more of your opinion on this. And
sure.
When we do come back, we're going to talk with Mike Hepp, and also let's talk about how addiction relates to crime across this country. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, this is Butch Patrick. That's right, TV's Eddie Munster, and everything is better with Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We have Mike Hepp on the phone. Mike, so give us more what you think. I know you said it sounded like I was doom and gloom, but the numbers don't lie. It's not getting better. So one of your solutions is, you said before the break, if we had way more stricter laws, if you're dealing, you're dead. Is that a deterrent?
Well, let me ask you if it would deter you.
No, I would probably.
If you knew you were going to go to the death, you know, be executed, you know, as a result of drug dealing, I really don't think you'd be doing it.
Yeah, but I would think I was never going to get caught.
Right, and that's okay. And there's those that can, you know, challenge the system, and you know, obviously they would be, you know, swinging from a tall tree and a short piece of rope if that happened. But you know, it would certainly be deterrent to stop drugs and, you know, not stop the drugs coming into the country. That's another topic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, borders are wide open, stuff's flooding in all the time. But once it's here, it has to be distributed. And if you're the guy that's distributing it and you know you're going to face the death penalty and do it, you want to roll the dice, by all means, go ahead. But the end result is you're out of here if you get pinched. And I think that would certainly curb 98% of the drug distribution in this country. But the problem is you're not going to get, you know, the country as a whole together, right, to agree on that. So
it's
almost like, you know, even you guys were talking about solutions for addiction, right? You know, I'm a big 12-step advocate.
Right.
There's been a solution for drug and alcohol addiction for 80 years that's helped myself and millions of other people. You know, and then we have folks that, you know, 12 steps aren't for everybody. Well, my argument to that is it's worked for myself and 2 million other people. Why doesn't it work for you? And there's a lot of answers to that. But the reality of it, it's a solution nonetheless. And unless you do it or take the action to go through the program, you're never going to reap the rewards of it. So
I agree with
it's just funny, you know, because there's solutions to all the problems that you guys have been talking about. Unfortunately, you know, folks don't want to give up the, you know, the ego, pride, and all the other nonsense that goes along with drug addiction to try something that works. And that's unfortunate.
Now, you're not saying, Mike, that you would support that to put people to death if they were drug dealers, or do you actually support that position?
Yeah,
absolutely. You're dealing drugs in this country. You should be put to death if you want to stop the drugs coming into the country. If you don't, then just keep letting things play out the way they are. But I would certainly support the death penalty for anybody that's killing off an entire generation. It's way beyond, right, turning a blind eye to this stuff. We're losing 100,000 people a year, and it seems to be okay with the folks in this country. And it's unfortunate, and it's a shame. But if you want to stop it, you need to have a deterrent, and you need to have strict punishment. Maybe not the death penalty. Maybe life in prison at the old Shangri-La would help. But the reality of it is you're never going to solve the problem, right, that exists like this when nobody cares enough as a whole. And I mean the entire United States to go, you know what, enough's enough. We're tired of losing a generation, tired of losing the kids. Let's enact some laws and put these people to death for that. And guess what? That'll stop it.
You know, it's a slippery slope, though, because if people are familiar with the Philippines a couple years ago, where they actually started putting users to death, too. Mm-hmm. And it was a real slippery slope down there.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. Mike and I, we don't agree on everything, okay? Mm-hmm. But I happen to think his concept is absolutely correct, because nothing else is really working. And maybe this would work.
But what about the 19-year-old kid that, you know, doesn't, you know, he's 19, he's young, he scores some fentanyl and sells it? Are we going to put him to death, right? The 18-year-old.
Well, look, I don't know if it's the age.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to ask you a question, Mark. What's the difference whether a 50-year-old man is selling, you know, fentanyl, or a 19-year-old kid? What's the difference between those two?
Well, the maturity level. I, you know, as a counselor, I deal with young adults a lot, and you know, their brains have not matured to the point where they're making rational decisions a lot of times. And you would think by 50, somebody would you know, they would have the wherewithal to make that decision You know how it is when you're 18. You think you'll never get caught. This will never happen to you. That was kind of my thoughts on that.
Mike,
I get it. When I was 10 years old, right, and you guys are old enough to remember J.M. Fields.
No.
You know, I was 10 years old and walked into a J.M. Fields to steal a candy bar. And you know what? I did at 10 years old, and I got caught and pinched and put on cameras and called my parents and all that stuff. So the idea that somebody 19-year-old doesn't have the mental capacity to know that he's selling drugs, he's going to die, I don't buy it.
What about the 10-year-old? I mean, you know, you hear about these countries where they cut your hand off.
There's degrees to this. A 10-year-old's different. But I think right. I happen to agree with Mike. We really have to – we can't stop – we can't keep going around and around in this. We have to do things that will deter at least some people because – Somebody who is executed, that's extreme. They're not going to be able to kill anybody anymore. I know it sounds harsh, but
it's really too deep rooted in the government side of things too. And I'm just putting this out there because, you know, guys, I'm not a Suboxone guy or, methadone guy. I don't believe in that stuff. You know, it's basically synthetic heroin, right? It's changing one out for the other, in my opinion. But it's also government funded, right? Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they take a heroin addict instead of putting them in a facility to detox, right? Let them go through 7-8 days of kicking and screaming and then get them into a treatment program, a 12-step program to, you know, give them a solid foundation for long-term recovery that, you know, you could be successful at. And then instead of doing that, they put them on Suboxone or methadone for years and years and years. It's just a vicious cycle. I don't really believe that, you know, that will ever go away because there's millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being made by the government off of that stuff. So,
well,
you want to change it, you got to vote people in that are going to make that effort.
Mike, you know, one of the things with Suboxone and things like that, I can tell you as a clinician where these kids, there's such a relapse rate with heroin and with fentanyl out there. If we didn't have things like Suboxone, we would have, you know, 50,000 more deaths a year. I mean, easily, because these kids, they come out of rehab, you know, you get an opiate addict and they're 18 years old. They relapse. I mean, you know, so you might have that one in whatever that makes it at that point. But if you didn't have things like Suboxone, you just have a much higher death rate. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't buy into it. I think that, you know, somebody that comes off of a drug that they, A, shouldn't be on to begin with, or, you know, two, had no business doing it in the first place. If you take the drug out of the alcoholic or addict, right, then you're left with what? A highly strained, abnormal human being, right, that needs to be guided through life through a certain set of principles, right? We all agree on that. You take that drug out of them, they're as sober as they're ever going to be. So to prolong that with Suboxone and some other types of drugs to keep them, you know, going back to a clinic every day, to me, is not an answer at all. It's just prolonging the inevitable. And as far as relapse is concerned, there's people in AA that have been sober 40 years that relapse every day. It's not about, you know, the relapse. It's about, you know, finding a solution to the problem and sticking with it and having a great life. And that's available today. It's not like it's, you know, everybody's trying to reinvent the wheel on it. And it's been done. It was done 80 years ago.
Linda, what do you think?
I think that what Mark and I are saying is that some of these people, we're trying to keep them alive until they're ready for the solution. So the harm reduction, the Suboxone, the methadone, the Vivitrol, all that stuff is the people we see every day that they're not quite ready.
Yeah.
They're not in a place with their family where the family's going to stop using. The family won't go to treatment. The family says stuff like, it's not my problem. I don't have to learn about it. So we're just trying to keep these young people alive until we can get that message through their head that they have a community that will help
right.
them.
But I just want to address what Mike kept saying about the dealers, not the
users.
Oh, you're
going back to that? Okay.
I just went real quick, and then we got to run. I agree with Mike. Something has to be done. And maybe the extreme, maybe that message has to be put out to stop a lot of people from doing this stuff. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in. We got to run, brother.
You are the man, Mike.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, you too.
Be well. We got a lot of people on here right now. I want to just hit a couple of them. Jim Hoffman. Who is this woman? What is her name? Her name is Linda E. All right. Ellen Schwartz is watching. Ray Parzyk from Florida is watching. Let me see something here. Kevin Heyer. So Stephen Sussman says, what about a 19-year-old user who sells too? Death, bad idea.
Right.
Not so sure. Listen, we can listen. Guess what? We can disagree on all these things. Paul Ben, how are you? Anna Zafer is watching from the Philippines. Hold on. Let me see who else is on here. Somebody. You seen anybody?
Yeah, I'm seeing Dawn Seabrock says there certainly needs to be prison terms for selling lethal drugs, but I do think dealers have an addiction issue as well. They need rehabilitation as well. Many people are addicted to money.
Oh, it's true. Mm-hmm. Richard Cameron, a big friend of this show, thank you for helping fight this disease. God bless. Yeah, we don't know the answers, Richard, but you know we're throwing it around here and trying to get some ideas. If you have an idea and you want to give us a call, don't be afraid. 1-888-728-9941. If you're just joining us, the three of us, Linda, Mark, and myself, Gary Hendler, we're talking about where is all of this going?
And what do we do about it? And, you know, there's a lot of differing opinions about this. What do you do to the drug dealer that's selling fentanyl that's killing so many people? And some people say put them to death. Other people say prison sentences, life prison sentences. But we want to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
And then you get to this thing. I don't want to sound like I'm hypocritical. Selling what? If you're selling marijuana, you're a dealer, you know?
It's very slippery slope, yeah. In my opinion.
We have a caller in line. Richard, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
hi,
man.
Gary.
How are you?
All right. Not bad.
What do you think? What do you think about the subject?
I think we in the 12-step programs.
Yeah.
We lost the basic principles of them, which are the steps. They changed my life, and really very appreciative for all you do. But I really feel that the 12 steps being taken out of the meetings and not really worked. From what I've seen, I've been in the meetings for about 18 years, and the steps changed my life.
I agree with you. Even if you're not in the program, those 12 steps are an incredibly guide to living a productive and peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You were saying that they've been – I mean, in my experience, I think they're being used still in the meetings, mm-hmm. right? Are you saying just not yep. used as much?
Right, right. AA – I'm an AA, and AA had 75% recovery rate in the 1940s, 50s, into the 60s. And right now, AA, 10% recovery rate is probably being generous.
And those studies and things were, if you really look at them, they were very skewed back then.
How about now?
Now, yeah. I think it's more accurate. And I think, you know, with the 10% and things like that. But back then, if you look at the way the study was done, it was not a 75% recovery rate.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, 50% was the actual number, but 25% came back. It was an estimate of people coming back to the rooms after a few relapses.
That's interesting. Rob, let me ask you a question. You've been around for a long, long time, almost two decades. Are you finding that the people that you started out with are still around? I don't mean
no.
dead or alive. Mm-hmm. Well, I do mean dead or alive, or you just mm-hmm. don't see them anymore.
Correct. Yeah. In our area, I'm in upstate New York. We've lost a good amount of people that, in my opinion, should not have been lost. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about the steps, and I try not to take inventory of anybody else but my own. But when I talk about the it happens. When I talk about the steps, it kind of just seems like not many people identify with them anymore. That is the basis of any 12-step program, and through my research, there's probably over 20 programs in the country, 12-step programs. And I just feel, and through praying and working a program myself, you know, I think we can do better.
Richard,
as a society.
Richard, do you think during all these years the I don't want to say rules of the program, but whatever it is, have lightened up? It's not as tight. You know, I've spoken about this several times. You know, when I started coming around, you know, we really didn't talk much about relapse, but now it seems to be, well, that's just part of the whole thing. I don't know. You know, look, nothing stays the same. Things change, and maybe we're just a little looser now for some reason.
Except one thing I think we're leaving out here is with the heroin and opiates and stuff, it's gotten younger and younger. So you get a 20-year-old kid, and you try to be like, okay, let's just work the steps and get better. You got a long way to go, you know, when you know dealing with young adults.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
The founders of AA, they found, and it's all through their writing and their books, they found that we have a mind, body, and spiritual disease. I know that I crossed that threshold. I went too far. I became powerless when I was around the 19 years old. So you're correct in saying that. There is a lot of more younger people. You know, I grew up in the 80s, 90s. So, yes, there are more younger people. I became powerless at the age of 19 or right around there. And it's not filtering down correctly is the only thing I can see. You know, I try not to talk about negativity too much, but I think we can do better. That's probably the best
guess
way
what?
To put it.
Let's take your advice and let's everybody try to do better.
Yeah.
That's a great message, you know, for everything.
Thank you.
Hey, Rich, man, thank you for supporting us in so many different ways. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you for having me on.
All right,
appreciate
brother.
It.
Take care, man.
God bless all that you all do. Thank you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care.
I love hearing from everybody.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when people call
opinions.
It's awesome.
Christy Nicole is watching. Daniel Astrup. I hope I said that right. Man, I am so terrible with names. Do we get Mike Burke, Robert Brandis, Laura Story? Listen, we have more time behind us than in front of us. We need to get to the top resources of help. Oh, man, I hate when somebody says we got
– I know.
Right?
We're in the fourth
I don't like
quarter
that.
Or
we're
something
in the
like
that. Don't say it.
But, you know, hey, look. What it is what it is, man, you know. No, it's good to get different opinions. We don't have to agree on everything.
And that's the only way I think we're going to get to the bottom of things, right? Different opinions and being open-minded to other people's opinions.
As long as they jive with ours.
Yeah, I don't know about this killing everybody thing.
Well, look.
For many years, there was a program where you could go from AA and you could sign up to volunteer to take a medical student to a meeting. And you could take them and to an open meeting, as long as it was an open meeting. And we also had the nurses from Lincoln or the nursing program from Villanova, and then all the doctors. And then it faded away in the 90s, and now it's back. Now they are teaching it again, but still only for a few weeks, and they don't always bring them to meetings. I think the doctors have to know there's a solution. I think the doctors have to know where to send people.
Absolutely. They don't. Hey, if you're in need of help right now, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. There is help out there. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, and let's try to come up with some kind of solution.
Yeah.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HigherCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hi, this is Simon Kirk, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
Clean and Sober Radio, we're back. So we're talking about where all this is going. And you know what? I really don't have any answers, but I like that people are getting involved. They're giving us, you know, they're giving us their opinions. We have Jason on the line, and let's see what Jason has to say. I don't think it's Jason.
I think it's Dawn.
It's Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. Hi, Dawn. How are you? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Good. Good.
I just wanted to say I think it's great that you're having this conversation, this dialogue. I think it's really important that we do start having these discussions. It's been like a long road, and it's crazy that we're just starting to get to the fact that there hasn't been any, you know, solution yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to go along with that, you know, we talk about, you know, all the people that relapse, and but you know, the opposite side of that is there are plenty of people who do recover, but
absolutely,
there are so many people who can't and don't for a wide variety of reasons. So, you know, tell us some more what your thoughts are about this, because it's important to hear different views on this subject, because as you said, this is a subject you don't really hear people talking about.
Yeah. Well, I do think that the issue with recovery now in our culture is the lack of resources. And, you know, our government does put more money into addiction than it does into mental health. As sad as that is to say, I mean, but it's the truth. You know, methadone clinics and things like that are a big money-making machine. And I do think also the younger generation coming up in recovery have a harder time because of the quick fix mentality that we have in our culture. And with technology and social media and all of that instant gratification kind of thing, I just feel that's how they probably approach recovery too, just, you know, not really putting in the work. And, you know, the roots of AA and NA, they're tried and true methods of recovery, but it does require a lot of work. You know, we have to work our recovery every single day, right?
Totally agree. I think we all do. We agree with that.
I think people would rather have a pill. They want to be fixed instantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do think a lot of it is mental health and trauma issues. I know for myself, that definitely was the case. You know, I have 14 years sober and free from heroin addiction. Mm-hmm. But I know that for me, it was trauma. You know, it was a lot of trauma that was unresolved. And there just aren't resources. We got 30-day programs, but that's not enough time. We need time, you know. And there needs to be a place where there is time for people to heal and to really get down to what it is. And it's painful and it's hard, but it is worth it. You know, it is worth it.
It certainly is. And to your point, it's, you know, it's treatment for people that are willing to do that. And, you know, 20 days, 29 days isn't going to cut it. You have to. Everything has to be rewired in your body.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, yep. And we need. Oops, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and we need more people like Andrea Duffy. We need more people in government. We really do have to be angry and loud. And, you know, you were saying that earlier, like, what can we do? Well, that's what we need to do. And someone did say, do Americans even care that so many are dying? And that really hurt my heart because it's true. It's like we're just watching this epidemic rise and rise and rise, and no one is outraged. Like, not enough. You know what I mean? Like, we need to get together and be outraged together and really demand that something change and something be done to save these lives. My nephew just passed away 2 weeks ago at 30 years of age from fentanyl.
So sorry.
You know?
So sorry.
Thank you. But,
jeez. You know, to your point, Nancy Minnick, who is watching, says, and this is so point on, we need to elect politicians that are willing to go after the people producing these drugs. But is anybody willing to do anything to help this cause that is not benefiting them?
Yeah, and did your nephew get the treatment that you lost?
No, he wasn't even in any treatment. You know, he just was addicted, and he had been clean for a couple of weeks and then decided to pick up again. And, you know, the things that are out there now are nothing of anything that I ever knew of in addiction.
Yeah.
You know, I would be terrified to pick up today. I really would.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he wasn't able to get any help. There aren't resources. There's medication, there's pills, there's more addiction, but there isn't, you know, any real place to go. And I don't know what it's going to take, you know. I don't know what it looks like to have us get together and really do that fighting to demand a change in our system, you know. But I think it's refreshing that you're having this conversation, and it can get the, you know, the wheels going, and the people start thinking, and maybe you can, you know, go further than just this conversation today.
Oh, we definitely will.
You know?
Does anybody know, is there a national program? Is there a national director for what's going on now in this country?
We have somebody in the White House.
Yeah, but what are they doing? Eh?
I don't know.
I don't hear anything.
I get newsletters.
We should hear from our leaders what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
And Dawn's right. We're going to continue. You know, after today's show, we're going to continue. I think this subject is extremely important. Dawn, thank you so very much for your call. And we are very sorry to hear about your loss.
Yeah, sorry to hear. Oh, so tragic. 30 years old.
Yep. Take care. Thank you, Dawn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, man.
One of the things she mentioned is there isn't long-term treatment. Sometimes we see somebody and they get the 28 days. They come to our programs for a few months.
Yep.
And then we can say, oh, gee, this is a guy who really needs long-term recovery. There's nowhere to send them if it's not safe for them to go home. So where do you send them if it's more than 6 months? There are some recovery houses that you can stay 6 months. But once your insurance runs out, nobody can afford to stay there. I have a friend in the program who was at Karen for 90 days. Karen sent him to said, you're never going to get good enough. He was actually a pot drug dealer. And they said, you're never going to be right. We're going to send you to Minnesota. He went out to Minnesota, to Hazleton, and stayed for 2 years. And he became a peer counselor and everything else. He's now successful in his own career. But it took him 3 years between being at Karen, being there, and going out to Minnesota and staying there. Sometimes you need long-term recovery, and people don't know where to get it or how to get it.
That's part of the big problem. Before we go, I just want a couple other people that are watching us is Carlos Ricardo. Dry up demand and dealers go away. Correct. Terry Dariff, there are too many obstacles in the way, hurdles for those not able, unhoused, mental illness, etc. Ted Klotz, the whole world needs to pull together as a broader look at it. Addicts need to support each other as well. Listen, these are all good points. We'll continue this dialogue. But you know what? It's just dialogue. There doesn't seem to be action, real across the board, across the country action. So, Linda, thank you for coming by as usual.
Thanks for having me.
You always add so much with Mark and myself, and we hope to see you soon. Mark, thanks a lot. Brad, thanks a lot. TJ, thanks a lot. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Everybody is a star.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.